episode is brought to you by Caps Payroll. Their focus is your success. They're giving away box seats to a music or sporting event at the Staples Center. Stick around for the end of the episode to learn how to win. Today's guest is a television animator who has worked on series for Warner Brothers, Cartoon Network, and most recently Disney. Welcome, Jason Beirut. So when did you get started in the business?
I got started in the business after I graduated college. I went to the Academy of Art, it's called now the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. And immediately when I was graduating in 99, I started looking for my first job. And I started in a small company called Wild Brain that had done a lot of commercials as a cleanup and as a cleanup artist. Cleanup and in-betweening, yeah.
So awesome. So you went to school for art, and then you were able, because of that skill, you were able to get a job in what you wanted to do.
That's right. I mean, I deliberately chose my career from the beginning. I was one of those weird kids who knew that they wanted to be in animation at the age of 13. I saw some of my first cartoons, and you know, a lot of them Disney-inspired, and I decided later found out, wow, people actually do this for a living. This is a career where they actually make, you know, these cartoons don't make themselves. People are really talented. People make these things. So I said, I want to be a part of that. And so at the time, it was very hard to find schools that taught this. And there was really only one that I wanted to go to, which was CalArts. But I didn't get accepted into that, so my path ended me up in San Francisco. And there I harnessed my artistic skills with full intention of becoming an animator. So I went to school specifically for... My major was illustration and my minor was animation.
I know that you did commercial, you've done TV... So between like the commercials and the TV shows, is there a difference in what you do, or is it primarily the same thing, just a shorter, of course, project?
Yeah, commercials are really like there's a lot less prep work, and they're, you know, one and done kinds of things. And TV, there's a lot more preparation for a long haul series. So there's a lot of back end work that has to be done.
So when you first start, like let's say you get on a project, what happens first? Like, do you guys sit down and discuss it, and then you have to come up with, you have to do the artwork first of ideas of what you think they want, or do they tell you this is kind of what we're looking for? How does that work, and then how long does it take from that part of it then to get into actually animating it?
Well, think of an animator as an actor. Before you decide to, you know, take on the role, there were a lot of people before you who were involved in the story, the creators of the show, the creators of the idea, the pitches, the storyboards, from script to storyboard, or just directly to storyboard to design. There's a lot of things that happen on the front end before it reaches the animator. The animator is just like an actor, a very shy actor who hides behind characters to do a performance. So we're not like actors who can't wait to be in front of the camera. We like to be behind the camera. So think of them, animators, as animation is actually the big part of the actual production, and it happens way after lots of pre-production and in between some post-production. So by the time it gets to me, you know, a lot of all the characters have been designed, angles have been predetermined by a designer, and so forth. There's a lot of work that has to go on beforehand before a shot. Even how the shot is laid out. What is the angle? The director has to do a lot of work before it even gets to animation.
So I take it the actors record first, and then you draw what you need to draw based on what you're hearing?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So the difference between live action and animation is your shots are planned beforehand, and then picture is locked, and your editorial is locked before, not after.
Okay.
See, with live action, you can shoot as much as you want, how much you want, and tell actors to go wherever they want and say it again and again and again. That's not possible with animation.
Right.
You have to know what your shots are going to be beforehand, you know, because you have... So the actors record their voices first, and then you animate to those.
Okay. How difficult is that?
To animate to their performances? It's not, acting is acting, you know, whether you do it, for a living or whether you do it behind the character. Pushing performances is a big part of why we do what we do.
So how do you get, the timing, though, as far as, because you have to do frame by frame by frame, or...
Mm-hmm.
And are you drawing it first, then you put it into the computer?
Well, you basically break down your entertaining poses, and you have the lot. You have the character all there on the computer with the background, and you have all the characters that are in the shot, and you listen to the sound over what the performance, the intention of the purpose of the shot.
Okay.
Whether it's 12 frame shot or whether it's 200 or 400 frame shot, you listen to that audio and you listen to it over and over and over again. And of course, a lot is what you can put into it is dependent on how much time you have. And it's not like some people are lazy or not good animators. It's because the shows are on budget and they have a certain amount of time. So not everything can look like a Disney feature.
So how long does it actually take for, let's say, A one minute piece? Yeah.
So the most I've ever animated is, and this is, it goes to a lot of very simple animation, a lot of prep work in the beginning, but I've animated a minute of animation in a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's using a technique what's called Flash, which is Flash animation. We call it UPA style, or very simple TV animation style. You can animate, but I would say the status quo for animators today in television animation, I think animators are being asked to animate about 30 seconds a week.
Wow. Now, do you have you come in the same hours each day, just a regular work day, or mm-hmm. do you get on certain projects where you have to be there for a longer amount of time?
Well, it depends on how much of a crunch. You know, you basically start off projects on your basic 9 to 6 or, 10 to 7 hours. But if you start getting behind the eight ball, they do want you to stay longer and work harder. And it's kind of funny, the better the animator you are, the more responsibility they give you,
Okay.
You really want to be a good animator, but also you become like team captain. So with good skill comes more responsibility. It depends on how the project is going. And most of the time, projects tend to run longer than expected, over budget. Those are the things that tend to happen. And those are the things that producers bite their nails on. So, but it's your job to meet your quota.
Okay. Now, what types of things are more difficult than others as far as, a certain kind of animation?
Well, performance is always a difficult thing, and good poses, entertaining poses, having just some sense of appeal in your animation versus, the basic, Family Guy, hands open, basic hands out style. Okay. Where it's just very direct and... But, some of the TV animation that you see, there isn't a lot of animation in them. You want to have some appeal. That's the challenge in animation, is to get the most amount of your performance and the time and budget allowed to you.
Is there anything else that's part of your job? Are there any other kind of duties that you have, anything other than the artwork itself?
My current job is more of a supportive role with animation, because you have to understand that more animation, if not most animation, is done overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfortunate reality to it. There's less and less animation being done in-house. So mm-hmm. my role is currently based on my experience as an animator, is to make animation that I see that comes from overseas better.
Okay.
Plus it, add this, take that out, enhance this effect, being able to use the software and manipulate the characters that, sometimes there's additional dialogue that needs to be recorded, that they wanted to change a line, you have to redo the lip sync, or maybe change the performance. Sometimes there's hookup issues between shots. There are things that I currently now do that I take over. Also, there's backup roles doing the end credits or making sure that final picture is in good shape and there's no weird things that are happening. So you have to have sharp, razor sharp eyes because sometimes in one frame you'll see something pop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. So that's some quality control that I have to do. So you can't have funny things pop, like eyes pop off and on or hands or funny things happen, where you can see the edges of frames, from backgrounds that got cut off or weird masks. So yeah, there are things now currently, the industry is very different. And with feature animation, more feature animation is being done overseas as well, unfortunately. But there's still a handful or a small part, Big Hero 6 or some of the Disney features, some of the DreamWorks features. There's still a large portion that's still done in-house.
Are there any other people in your department besides the artists? Like yourself, do you look over other people? Is there a structure to your department?
I basically work in a collaboration. That's what I love about animation. It's a collaboration of talent and people. And I often go, unilaterally between departments, whether it's color or whether it's a background design or whatever. If there's a retake or something that needs to be done, I do what I can on my end, or if something has to be repainted, I'll go. Yeah, it's basically a circle or collaboration.
And are there any assistants to anybody or any interns or anything like that?
Sure, there's a lot of production assistants, production managers, people who hand out the work, who disperse work, are executive producers, directors, or sometimes some still has one director, sometimes it has two or three. There are editors, and there are assistants to the writers and, writers' assistants. And yeah, so there's a huge collaboration of people, storyboard artists, background artists, color stylists, designers, background designers, layout artists, checkers, the overseas checkers, they're like more administrative stuff, less creative stuff, people who plan out route sheets to make sure that each shot has a count of each element that needs to be in each shot, that prop designers, people think that you just push a button and there you have the layman thinks that you push a button and there's an animation. They say, hey, I need a character and animate for my idea. And it's like, well, hold on a second. I mean, there's a lot that has to go on before that. What does your character look like? Who is he? What does he do? And then that's when they just freeze, and they're like, oh, yeah, you need to know all that.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I need to know, what does the show look like? What does the shot look like? What is he standing in front of? What is the background? That's what I love about animation is the epitome is of all forms of artistic talent coming together to make a single project. It's a fascinating and interesting, industry.
I'm sure it varies from project to project, but how many different type of artists are there? How many do you think are usually needed in a production?
Usually have one art director who has a singular vision to what the style of the show should look like, then you have like a core team of storyboard artists, and it depends on the size of the shape or scope of the show.
Okay.
And how long the season is, but a lot of shows, it varies. It could be, 10 artists, it could be 20.
Okay.
But
they all have a different thing that they create? Like you were talking about, does one person just do the backgrounds, another person does,
You'll have a couple of background artists, because the workload is
huge.
Great for just one background artist.
Right.
You'll have maybe two or three, one layout. You have a person who's just responsible for the artwork of the backgrounds, but not responsible to paint them.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So you have painters, and then you have designers, prop designers, not responsible for the prop design, for the color of the prop. That is determined by a color stylist, someone responsible for the design of that prop, whether it was a hammer or a cannon or anything like that.
So is that all labeled under animator? Like, for instance, have you done...
My official title is a technical director right now, but I've been an animator most of my career.
Okay. So now how about these other roles? If someone said, you know, to start out, you need to do the color thing, or is that like a different type of an artist?
Well, drawing is the foundation of all things. And whether you draw, and there's a lot of people who draw and paint, and what they determine to draw and paint. You'd be surprised how many people who are pigeonholed into one thing are really good at another. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be an overall good draftsman and someone who's passionate about what they do.
Okay.
So if you want to break in or get started, you have to study all the people who came before you. And whether it's animation, study animators. Whether it was art direction and designers, you got to study a lot of painters.
Wow.
So, you know, that's why I say that animation embodies a lot of... If you want to be a modeler for 3D, you've got to study sculpture.
Okay.
You know, so, and there's like two different kinds of animation now. 3D animation, which is like Toy Story, or there's 2D animation, like a lot of the TV shows that you see. So it depends on what facets. There are people who are just good animators, who aren't, they're good performance thinkers, but they don't really have, the drawing skills like a traditional animator would.
Okay.
And that's okay. But I always stress that drawing is the foundation. Drawing is what pushes 3D animation, even farther. Every day. So some of the traditional animated shows, animation is just because it's a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes the envelope a little greater. So, drawing drives technology forward, not the other way around.
So now let's say somebody just gets out of school, or they're still learning, they're still developing their skill. Is there a way that they can get in starting? What's the bottom that they can they get in at like an administrative level and then eventually work their way up as they're learning?
You have to get in, and the way you get in is through a good portfolio.
Okay.
And I think every art student knows this. Your portfolio has to sing, it has to be exceptional. If you want to be a storyboard artist, you have to have a portfolio that is geared just for storyboarding. If you want to be a character designer, you have to have a nice design sense and an array of characters that you designed. If you want to be a color stylist, you have to gear your portfolio based. Don't have a portfolio, art students, that has everything under the sun in it, because then we won't know what it is that you want to be or want to do. You have to make portfolios based on what it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to animate, then you need to show a reel of your animated short, and so they have a sense of performance and timing. If you want to be a painter, you better have some really nice backgrounds and environments, and good color and value sense. So you get in your foot in the door by having one exceptionally good piece that says that you can do the job that you're trying to do.
Now, I mentioned earlier about internships.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for an artist? Do they have to be in college, or can they be graduated and then they can apply to intern?
Every company is different in how they handle internships. I don't know the details on that, but, mm-hmm. you know, interns are a good way to, you know, if you want to dabble and to find out and learn more about the process and how each company does it. Internships, every company has different policies on how to enroll. Whether it's a small studio, you can, you know, smaller studios, versus bigger studios, they are all different. But I've worked with a handful, and you know, they usually end up doing some of the grunt work, but that's part of it. So someone's got to do it.
What were some of the most fun jobs that you've done?
Some of the most fun jobs that I work on is when I just work with a great group of people and where the talent is second to none, and everyone is on the same page, and basically everyone's really excited about the project that they're working on. And things are, you know, in terms of a pipeline are clicking. A show that is well organized is a lot of fun. And some of the projects, that I work on right now are really fun and collaborative and great. They're work with some of the best talent in business. And yeah, that's not always the case, but you know, if you really love the challenge, some of the best projects I've worked on are just some that are artistically challenging or things that push me beyond where I feel like I'm getting paid to learn something new. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, or something that pushes you beyond what you already know. Maybe it's a full-on traditional show where you have to draw every frame, and that is where you're pushing your own drawing skills to a new level, or whether you have to learn a new program. Those are the projects that are fun, where you're also learning while you're working. And at the same time, listen, I work on making cartoons. What could be a better career than that? So I love that.
Now you teach as well, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You're currently teaching, and can anybody, any of our listeners, would they be able to sign up for one of your classes?
Yes, they would.
Okay, and where would they go?
My class is taught at a small studio where artists go to learn. There's no degrees or anything. They just go to learn a new program, mm-hmm. and it's called Studio Arts, and Studio Arts is located here in Los Angeles, and you can go to studioarts.com to take a look at the class I teach, and I teach one of the 2D programs that we use to get animation done.
We're talking about everybody that you work with. Now, do you interact with the cast, with the voiceover artists?
I have sometimes, and that's usually just like a treat, you know, to meet someone, famous. But no, I don't meet with the cast as much as I like or is required. As an animator, it is so great to be able to see how the actor is performing, but that's more on the feature level, mm-hmm. because they spend more time on performance. I don't get to interact with the voice record as much as the producers or the directors do.
Do you get to watch the actors to see the expressions that they're making?
If you were a feature animator, yes, that resource is available to you. If you're in TV, there isn't time. And that's an extra added resource that they usually don't make time for. You just have to listen to it over and over again.
Okay.
And listen to the dialogue. That's what an animator would do, is listen to the performance. And once in a while, in a blue moon, you do get that opportunity as a TV animator, but it's usually not, there's usually no time or requirement. But if you're in features, they spend a lot more time pushing the performance. And those resources, yeah, those are available to you to watch. You usually get a video or something of the actor.
So now, since you've started out, have you seen changes in the industry?
Sure. The talent pool has increased exponentially. The technology has changed radically. It feels like there are no more worlds left to conquer. I mean, if you see what's on screen these days, we can do fire, water, smoke, and make characters and beings that aren't there and appear. But I think the biggest change that I've seen was when I was looking for art schools to attend, there were only a handful. Now there are more schools that you can choose to get that are teaching kids and students at an exponential rate this craft. And I think that the mystery of animation is almost dwindled somewhat, because when I was looking for how to become an animator, it was still quite close to the secret on, like, where do you go to do this? Who is it? How is animation even done?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's opened up so much to everyone. It's changed dramatically, and now we have all these, with Comic-Con and all these conventions, and CTN, which is the cartoonist conventions, and all of the, the industry has blown up dramatically.
Do you think with the new technology and with everything that's happening, is it harder than what it was, or is it easier because of the technology?
I look at technology as another, like, power tool of, you know, it's about how you use it and who's using it. So technology has changed animation greatly in terms of ink and paint. We don't ink and paint on cells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to change colors very, very quick. So technology has made things easier and it enables us to handle more footage at a greater rate. But sometimes technology just presents a new set of problems
mm-hmm.
that you haven't had to deal with.
Yeah.
Technology's made things more paperless, so it's better for the environment. We're not drawing directly on paper anymore. We're drawing directly in the screen.
Do you find that drawing it is easier for you, or doing it in the computer is easier for you?
Drawing is drawing. Whether you draw it on the computer or you draw it on a piece of paper, the only difference is that you kind of get that tactile feeling of, you know, of that 2D feeling of that pencil actually hitting your medium is, you know, gives you a sense of
control.
I don't know, it's more control.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird drawing directly onto a Cintiq or a screen.
Mm-hmm.
But you have so much more power and flexibility to manipulate your drawings on the computer, and painting in the computer is wonderful. Because you can hit that undo key. There's no undo key when you paint.
Yeah, that's true.
And make a mistake or blurp on blurp on your canvas and make a mistake, and then you spend hours trying to clean up something that you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And there's some fantastic painters who paint digitally. A lot of great painters, and I have the privilege of working with them. So. You know, it's a different animal, and but the principles in the drawing are right. The principles and the discipline are the same. Computers don't really do anything for you. There's nothing automatic about them.
What do you suggest for them that want to get started in the business?
Sure, figure out where there's a demand. You know, is it commercials? Is it TV? If you want to get in a TV, is it features? If you want to stay in the States, animation I think of it as making a bike, you know,
mm-hmm.
Actual bicycle makers, because the animation process, most of that is being done overseas. So, and I would tell people that, you know, learn as much, these days you have to be, as James Bond said it, half monk, half hitman. You've got to be half artist, half technical.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be artistic, but you have to be someone who embraces technology and wants to learn all the latest tools as well. So you have to be left brain and right brain.
Okay.
And someone who wants to break in, you just have to try and get your foot in the door. You have to have a good work ethic, work hard. No job is beneath you, you know.
Right.
Do everything you can to, for me, it was, I found out there was a demand at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started there. And then the .com thing happened. And then I found a medium called Flash Animation, and the web was opening up. And then, you know, Flash Animation has died off or dying down. And, things, take, you know, based on their environment or the climate of the day, you've just got to find your niche and what you like to do and grow on that. Not everyone's an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone loves drawing characters to people. Some people like drawing animals more than people. Some people like drawing backgrounds and landscapes more than people. It depends on what you find yourself doing. And so, yeah, you know, you just have to keep your ears open, and that's it's not about what you know, it's who you know.
Okay.
And find someone who inspires you, someone who you do know is in the industry, and pick their brains for information. Usually animators and the animation community is really free to give. And there are just so many resources today mm-hmm. than there were when I was going to school. There's almost no excuse to not know because of how many artists post their work on the internet and how many schools there are and online schools for animation there are.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible the resources we have because of the internet today.
And what is your favorite part of your job? Of all the different types of things that you have to do, what's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is that I get to come to work with a group of talented individuals that love what they do and love the show that they believe in the project they work on, and I love that I get to come to work and learn something new every day.
That's awesome. So my last question for you, if you were the king of Hollywood, is there anything that you would do differently in this process?
If I was the king of Hollywood, I would try and work better, especially in the state of California, to keep animation in the state. A lot of animation is leaving the state. And
that's
we
sad.
Need to make it, we need to play by the same, all play by the same rules and try and I know that there's a lot of politics involved in that, you know, and it's always a money issue and the cost of living is going up, you know.
Yeah.
But, I speak for a lot of people who don't like to see their jobs being lost to overseas studios, but that is the reality of it. Yeah, if I was king of Hollywood, I suppose, bear in mind that Hollywood, that's kind of funny because Hollywood is in the process of making money. I mean, let's be honest. And,
yeah.
And entertain. So, you know, I guess if I had any power or say of anything, I would really want to try to make that happen and keep, Americans employed, which is where animation and some of the best animation is done.
Yeah.
Still here in the States.
I think that's a great thing to do. Jason, thank you so much for all your information. And this will be a real treat for our listeners to hear about the really creative people in Hollywood that create all these wonderful, wonderful shows that everybody can watch.
Speaking of learning, send a tweet to @TheAnonymousPA and @CapsPayroll about what you learned in today's episode. Use the hashtag GoForCaps and you'll be in the drawing to win those box seats thanks to Caps Payroll. That's it for this season of Crew Call. All 26 episodes are available on the TAPA website, anonymousproductionassistant.com. We're going to go on a little hiatus, but we'll be back with more episodes soon. Thanks for listening.